Greetings. Welcome to all listening. This city, built on two mountains, is called El-Quds, Ariel, Cadetis, Aelo Capitolina. From 1400 BC to 1244 AD, this city underwent 27 sieges, the last being by the Carmesian hordes who slaughtered its priests and monks. Probably the most war-torn city in the history of man. This city was captured variously by the Romans, often taken and retaken by the Egyptians, Assyrians, Babylonians, and Turks. No city in the world has been so war-torn. It was visited by a great earthquake. This city had no natural water supply. The private citizens had cisterns, which were supplied by the rain from the roofs. In 1277 AD, it was nominally annexed to the Kingdom of Sicily. Today, this city is built over immense beds of rubbish. One of its captors named the city after himself. Jesus Christ, living on this earth, actually as a physical being, was its king. This city is honored in our songbook. Hymns include pages 38, 100, 103. Today, following Rene Messier's example in 30 points, I guess I'll have to revise that down to 12. Today, in 12 points, we'll cover today's message entitled, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem. Point 1, names of the city. It is poetically called, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, Psalm 48, verse 2. To the Arabs, it is El-Quds, meaning holy town. Ariel, meaning Lion of God, is another designation, Isaiah 29, verses 1, 2, and 7. The name Zion, or Sion, appears to have been like Ariel, the hearth of God, a poetical term for Jerusalem, but in the Greek age was more specially used of the Temple Hill. It is called the Holy City, Matthew 4, verse 5. Herodotus gives it the name Cadetis, which reappears in the modern El-Quds, or this may come from Kodesh, the holy city. Called also Salem, Ariel, Jebus, the city of God, the holy city, by the modern Arabs, El-Quds means the holy. Once it was called the city of Judah, 2 Chronicles 25:28. Jerusalem is in the original a dual form and means possession of peace or foundation of peace. The dual form probably refers to the two mountains on which it was built, namely Mount Zion and Mount Moriah, or as some suppose, to the two parts of the city, the upper and the lower city. Jerusalem is a mountain city enthroned on a mountain fastness, Psalm 68:15. The oldest known form, Urusalim, has been considered by many to mean either the city of peace or the city of the god Salem. But other interpreters, considering the name as of Hebrew origin, interpret it as possession of peace, or foundation of peace. It is first mentioned in Scripture under the name Salem, Genesis 14:18. When first mentioned under the name Jerusalem, Adonizedek was its king, Joshua 10, verse 1. The name there is spelt Uru Salim, City of Peace. It was King David who gave the city the name Jerusalem. Because it was captured during his reign, Jerusalem also came to be known as the City of David. Point 2. Earliest History. The first mention of Jerusalem is as the Salem of Melchizedek, Genesis 14, verse 18. The city of Jerusalem is mentioned directly in the Bible during the struggle of Joshua and the Israelites to take the land of Canaan, Joshua 10, verses 1 to 4. It is certain that the city's site itself was occupied many centuries before David, and it is a traditional view that the city called Salem, Genesis 14:18, over which Melchizedek was king, was identical with Jerusalem. At the time of Joshua's invasion of Canaan, Adonizedek is mentioned, Joshua 10, verse 1, as king of Jerusalem. He united with the kings of Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon to fight against the Gibeonites, who had made peace with Joshua. The five kings were defeated and, being captured in hiding at the cave Makkedah, were slain. Another king, Adonibezek, whom some identify with Adonizedek, was defeated by Judah after the death of Joshua, and after being mutilated, was brought to Jerusalem and died there. Judges 1, verses 1 to 7. After which it is recorded that Judah fought against Jerusalem and took it and set the city on fire. Judges 1, verse 8. But it is clear the city remained in the hands of the Jebusites for some years more. Judges 1:21, although it was theoretically reckoned on the south border of Benjamin. Israel's effort to take the city were unsuccessful, although the areas surrounding the city were taken and the land was given to the tribe of Judah. Point 3. Under David and Solomon. David, after he had reigned 7.5 years at Hebron, determined to make the place his capital, and about 1000 B.C. captured the city. The account of the capture of Jerusalem by David is obscure, but it seems probable that the Jebusites, relying upon the extraordinary strength of their position, challenged David, quote, "You shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you." 2 Samuel 5, verse 6. And that David directed his followers to go up the watercourse and smite the, quote, "lame and the blind," a term he in turn applies mockingly to the Jebusites. Joab supposedly discovered the water system, ascended the passageway, and entered the city at night, delivering it into the hands of David. Quote, "Job, the son of Zariah, went up first and was made chief." 1 Chronicles 11:6. It seems that David's men captured the city through a surprise attack up the great tunnels. David, having captured the stronghold Zion, renamed it to the City of David and took up his residence there. He added to the strength of the fortifications round about from the Milo onward, with the assistance of Phoenician workmen supplied by Hiram, king of Tyre. He built himself a quote-unquote house of cedar, 2 Samuel 5, verse 11. The Ark of God was brought from the house of Obed-Edom and lodged in a tent, 2 Samuel 6, 17, in the city of David. The threshing floor of Aruna, 2 Samuel 24, 18, or Onan, as recorded in 1 Chronicles 21, 15, the Jebusite, was later purchased as the future site of the temple. The Jerusalem which David captured was small and compact, but there are indications that during his reign it must have increased considerably by the growth of suburbs outside the Jebusite walls. With the accession of Solomon, the increased magnificence of the court, the foreign wives and their establishments, and the new officials, the great number of workpeople brought to the city for Solomon's great buildings must necessarily have enormously swelled the resident population, while the recorded buildings of the city, the temple, the king's house, the house of the daughter of Pharaoh, the house of the forest of Lebanon, and the throne hall and the pillared hall, must have altered the whole aspect of the site. Although Solomon built so magnificent a house for God, he erected in the neighborhood shrines to other local gods, a lapse ascribed largely to the influence of his foreign wives and consequent foreign alliances. Point 4, the greatest glory. The glory of Jerusalem, begun under David, reached its greatest heights under Solomon. Solomon proceeded to construct the temple about which David had dreamed. 2 Chronicles 3, verse 4. The city's greatest glory was reached under the reign of Solomon, who built the temple and a royal palace besides, greatly enlarging and strengthening the walls of the city. The site of the former three magnificent temples of 1. Solomon, 2. Zerubbabel, and 3. Herod is today occupied by a Muslim mosque, the Dome of the Rock, built by Abd el-Melik in 686 A.D. Point 5. War-torn. After the death of Joshua, the city was taken and set on fire by the men of Judah. Judges 1, verses 1. But the Jebusites were not wholly driven out of it. David afterwards led his forces against the Jebusites, still residing within its walls, and drove them out, fixing his own dwelling on Zion, which he called the City of David. Later in history, after the Medes and the Persians conquered the Babylonians, the Persian kings permitted the Jews to return to Jerusalem. A temple was rebuilt by Zerubbabel. Under the direction of Ezra and Nehemiah, the city walls eventually were reconstructed. Later in history, the Romans appointed Herod the Great as king of the region. Under his rule, Jerusalem was rebuilt into a showplace for the Roman world. In the meantime, Jerusalem's painful history would continue. When the ancient nation of Judah went astray from God, God said, quote, "I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I have said, my name shall be there." 2 Kings 23:27. The history of Jerusalem from the time of Joshua to its destruction by Titus, a period of 15 centuries, is a succession of changes, revolutions, sieges, surrenders, and famines. Each is followed by a restoration and rebuilding. 17 times desolated by conquerors, as having become, as God calls them in Isaiah 1 verse 10, a Sodom. The 17 sieges ended with the Roman, Luke 21:20 and Matthew 24:15. Twice in these sieges, Jerusalem was destroyed. On two occasions, its walls were overthrown. Fortifications avail nothing without God's favor. Point 6, the destructions. Jerusalem is first mentioned under that name in the book of Joshua. The Tel El Armana collection of tablets includes 6 letters from its Amorite king to Egypt, recording the attack of the Iberi about 1480 B.C. From the first siege by the children of Judah, 1400 B.C., to 1244 A.D., Jerusalem underwent 27 sieges, the last being by the Carmesian hordes who slaughtered the priests and monks. The first siege appears to have taken place almost immediately after the death of Joshua, approximately 1400 B.C. Judah and Simeon, quote, "fought against Jerusalem and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire." Judges 1, verse 8. In the 15 centuries which elapsed between this siege and the siege and destruction of the city by Titus, 70 A.D., the city was besieged no fewer than 17 times. Twice it was razed to the ground. On two other occasions, its walls were leveled. In this respect, it stands without a parallel in any city, ancient or modern. David captured the city 1046 B.C. and made it his capital and fortified and enlarged it. The city was taken by the Philistines and Arabians in the reign of Jehoram, 886 B.C., and by the Israelites in the reign of Amaziah, 826 B.C. During the reign of Uzziah, ending approximately 740 B.C., the city was visited by a great earthquake, Zechariah 14, verse 4. It was subsequently often taken and retaken by the Egyptians, the Assyrians, and by the kings of Israel, till finally, for the abounding iniquities of the nation, after a siege of 3 years, it was taken and utterly destroyed, its walls razed to the ground, and its temples and palaces consumed by fire by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, 588 B.C. During this time, Jeremiah was actively foretelling in streets and courts of Jerusalem the approaching ruin of the city. Messages were received with contempt and anger by the king and court. Jeremiah 36:23. The desolation of the city and the land was completed by the retreat of the principal Jews to Egypt. Jeremiah 40-44. And by the final carrying captive into Babylon of all that still remained in the land. Jeremiah 52:3. So that it was left without an inhabitant. 582 B.C. It was three times taken by Nebuchadnezzar in the years B.C. 607, 597, and 586, in the last of which it was utterly destroyed. Its restoration commenced under Cyrus in 538 B.C., and was completed under Artaxerxes, who issued the commissions for this purpose to Ezra, 457 B.C., and Nehemiah, 445 B.C. In 332 B.C., it was captured by Alexander the Great. Under the Ptolemies and the Seleucidae, the town was prosperous, until Antiochus Epiphanes sacked it, 170 B.C. Jerusalem's possibly greatest humiliation was reached under this reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, 175-165 B.C., when the most violent and cruel efforts were made to destroy the Jews and their religion. Pig's flesh was offered to Zeus on an altar set on Jehovah's brazen altar, and the broth sprinkled about the temple. Josephus, Antiquities 12:13. In consequence of his tyranny, the Jews rose under the Maccabees, and Jerusalem became again independent and retained its position until its capture by the Romans under Pompey, 63 B.C. The temple was subsequently plundered by Crassus, 54 B.C., and the city by the Parthians, 40 B.C. The greatest siege that it sustained, however, was at the hands of the Romans under Titus, when it held out nearly 5 months, and when the town was completely destroyed, 70 A.D. None of the many calamities which had happened to the city are to be compared with this terrible siege. Bad government by Roman procurators appointed over Judea as a Roman province had led to discontent and the rebellion. However, and finally, Titus laid siege to the city and destroyed it in 70 A.D., sacrificing 1 million lives. Titus himself recognized this. Quote, "We fought with God on our side. It is God who pulled the Jews out of these strongholds. And for what could the hands of men or machines have availed against these towers?" Unquote. With the suppression of this last effort for freedom by Julius Severus, the remaining traces of Judaism were stamped out, and it is even said in the Jerusalem Talmud that the very site of the temple was plowed up, an altar of Jupiter was placed on the temple site, and Jews were excluded from Jerusalem on pain of death. The new city was called Colonia Aelia Capitolina. This name described it as a Roman colony. Later on, it was taken by the Persians under Croesus II in 614 AD, and the destructions continued. Point 7, importance of. Jerusalem became the general burial place of the kings of Judah. In 1 Samuel 17:54, David brought Goliath's head to Jerusalem. Herod took up his residence in Jerusalem as soon as he was appointed sovereign and restored the temple with great magnificence. Later on in history, on the death of Herod, it became the residence of the Roman procurators who occupied the fortress of Antonia. Jerusalem always was the place returned to for significant events. For example, Acts 15 records that when the early church leaders sought to reconcile their differences about the acceptance of Gentile believers, they met in Jerusalem. Point 8, in Muslim hands. From 637 AD to 1917, the city remained in Muslim hands except for the brief periods when the Crusaders held Jerusalem. The site of the former three magnificent temples of Solomon, Zerubbabel, and Herod is occupied by a Muslim mosque, the Dome of the Rock, built by Abd el-Malik in 686 AD. Here was the temple, and here stands now the great Mohammedan sanctuary with its mosques and domes. North of the side of the temple is the building now known to Christians as the Mosque of Omar, but by Muslims called the Dome of the Rock. Years after 135 AD, Jews were driven out of it with great slaughter, and the city was again destroyed, and over its ruins built a Roman city called Aelia Capitolina, a name which it retained until it fell under the dominion of the Mohammedans, when it was called El-Quds, the Holy. In 1187 AD, the Sultan Saladin wrested the city from the Christians. From that time to the present day, with few intervals, Jerusalem has remained in the hands of the Muslims. Point 9. Modern day Jerusalem. Today, Jerusalem's population is approximately 662,000. When the United Nations took up the Palestine question in 1947, it recommended that all of Jerusalem be internationalized. In May 1948, Jordan invaded and occupied East Jerusalem, dividing the city for the first time in its history. The Vatican and many predominantly Catholic delegations pushed for internationalization, but it was not to be. The Arab states were as bitterly opposed to the internationalization of Jerusalem. From 1948 to 1967, the city was divided between Israel and Jordan. In 1967, Jordan ignored Israeli pleas to stay out of the Six-Day War and attack the western part of the city. The Jordanians were routed by Israeli forces and driven out of East Jerusalem, allowing the city's unity to be restored. Jerusalem is one issue on which views of Israelis are unanimous. the city must remain undivided capital of Israel. Yet, only two countries have embassies in Jerusalem, Costa Rica and El Salvador. Of the 184 nations with which America has diplomatic relations, Israel is the only one where the U.S. does not recognize the capital or have its embassy located in that city. We note also, UN and European Union always side with the Palestinians and oppose Israel in all matters pertaining to the Palestinian issue. The U.S. Embassy, like most others, is in Tel Aviv, 40 miles from Jerusalem. Today, then, we have the anomaly that American diplomats refuse to meet with Israelis in their capital because Jerusalem's status is negotiable, but make their contacts with Palestinians in Jerusalem. Point 10. Jesus and Jerusalem. When Jesus came into the world and was crucified, that great event took place in the environs of Jerusalem. It was in the temple that Jesus Christ of Nazareth would appear and teach a brief 3.5-year ministry. Jesus didn't really spend a great deal of time in Jerusalem. As his custom was, he went up for the annual festivals, Luke 2, verse 42. But he loved Jerusalem. When Jesus looked upon Jerusalem, he longingly sighed, lamenting over Jerusalem. Let's turn to Matthew 23, verses 37 and 38. Matthew 23, verses 37 and 38. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. Of course, Christ had known Jerusalem's tumultuous history, and he knew the glory that was prophesied for the future. He knew Jerusalem would one day be his very headquarters, and that the resurrected David would be there too. He knew his 12 apostles would each rule over one of the 12 tribes of Israel, and that he would become king over the entire earth. But that was not to be accomplished during Christ's first appearing. It will be centuries later at his second coming, when the government of God will be reestablished over the earth. In the meantime, Jerusalem's painful history would continue. Point 11. End time prophecy. What is yet prophesied to happen to Jerusalem is reminiscent of what did happen both in 586 BC and later in 70 AD. Let's turn to Psalm 137, verse 7. Psalm 137, verse 7. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its foundation. The Edomites rejoiced at the time when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC, and when the Romans later destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. Speaking of which, few people realize that the ancient exclamation or traditional three cheers cry, "Hep, hep, hurrah," refers to what the Jews' enemies, the Romans, said when they saw Jerusalem destroyed. When Titus, Prince of Rome, had laid siege to Jerusalem in 70 AD, Rome waited patiently for Jerusalem's inevitable fall, holding out nearly 5 months. Finally, Titus was able to enter Jerusalem, and he totally razed it so that, quote, "not one stone was left upon another," unquote. He sent a message back to Rome. It said, "Jerusalem est perdu." Jerusalem is fallen, destroyed. On his triumphant return to Rome, the crowds lined the road, shouting the message that he had sent. Hep, hep, hooray. Hep is an acronym for the three Latin words, Jerusalem est perdu, H-E-P. That's why the cry of hep, hep, hooray is still offensive to Jews today. Also, in Germany in 1819, during the Hep, Hep riots, a Latin acronym, Jerusalem is lost, mobs attacked Jews who again felt themselves outsiders. Zechariah chapter 12 gives graphic and detailed prophecies concerning events which are about to occur in the Middle East. Quote, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding people when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem." Last point 12. Jerusalem, world capital. Jerusalem has not been able to symbolize peace for most of its troubled history. However, prophecy outlines a brilliant future for Jerusalem. When the Bible speaks of north, south, east, or west, it gives directions from the central focal point of Jerusalem. The Middle East, with Jerusalem at the center, is at the convergence of three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. Jerusalem will, during the millennium, become capital city of the world, the city from which Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, will dispense truth and peace to all nations. Jerusalem shall never be cast off again, permanently and forever, the headquarters of the government of God. What a beautiful utopian picture God revealed to the prophet Isaiah, quote, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, unquote. Isaiah gives us a wonderful picture of utopian peace radiating out from Jerusalem to all the world. Let's turn to Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4. Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations will flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Jerusalem shall be capital of the world, with the Messiah, Jesus Christ, ruling the entire earth from that city of peace. Then will be fulfilled Zechariah's wonderful millennial prophecy, quote, "Thus saith the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain," unquote. The cities of Jerusalem will then be safe. Peace and stability will then radiate from the city of peace to all nations and cities around the entire world. Godspeed the day when Jerusalem really is the city of peace, and the whole world will enjoy the peace and prosperity of the world tomorrow.